Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
So I'm delighted to bring you the first of our panels from the EY finalists here in from Cape Town. We're in an innovation studio here today, and I'm delighted to be joined by three finalists who are Conor Hanley, he's from Fire One, Hugh Cormacan is from Cirdan, and Sharon Cunningham and Orla Ryan are from Shorla. You're all very welcome to the programme. Maybe, Conor, we'll start with you. If you just give us a brief introduction to yourself and tell us about your business, if you would.
So I'm part of a company called Fire One, and we're focused on people suffering with heart failure. And unfortunately, probably one in five of us are going to actually suffer from this. It's the biggest cause for hospitalisation. And we're targeting our solution to try to help to keep patients out of hospital and extend their life.
Okay. And so basically it's about providing care remotely, making sure the heart health is good, but keeping you out of hospital. Is that a fair summary?
It is. What we've developed, and there's an absolutely amazing team in Ireland to do this, we've developed a completely unique sensor to actually give you a status to allow you to adjust your medication in the home under physician direction. So it's kind of like what's happened in diabetes. If you know that there's these continuous glucose monitors, that you can wear a patch and get your information on the phone and adjust your medication.
Wow. Okay. Stay with us, Conor. Our next guests are Sharon Cunningham and Orla Ryan from Shorla. Ladies, you're very welcome to the programme. Come in here and we'll talk to you. Sharon, tell us about the business and how it started.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Bobby. I'm Sharon Cunningham, CEO and co-founder of Shorla. Orla and I co-founded the company 6 years ago at this stage. We improve lives through science and innovation. So essentially, we are on a mission to improve existing oncology treatments through formulation re-innovation.
Okay.
And so one example that I might give you is a drug that's currently only available in a very hard capsule. We have developed a ready-to-drink solution that the patient can safely take in the home setting.
So, Orla, would I be right in saying then that you take existing medication and you amend it somehow to give it a different purpose or a different use? Is that fair to say?
That's correct, Bobby, and we really focus on areas where existing treatments are inadequate, in shortage, or not suitable for the target population.
Okay, and you say the business is about around 6 years. Sharon, you're the CEO, so who does what in this great business?
Yeah, so we're very much like-minded individuals with a complementary skill set. I'm a chartered accountant by profession, so my background is funding, finance and commercialization. And then Orla is everything to do with products development and the regulatory process, given that she's a scientist by background.
Fantastic. Let's bring in our third guest. He's Hugh Cormacan. Hugh, you're very welcome to the programme. Thanks for joining us. Tell us about your business, Cirdan, if you would.
Yeah, so our business, Cirdan, is the primary part of the business is providing laboratory information systems for hospital laboratories. Hospital laboratories are core to a lot of the clinical pathways. 95% of all clinical pathways rely on the pathology labs. We provide a very efficient system to provide that support and be able to get the labs to work with the various other healthcare pathways to improve the healthcare and the sort of reporting and looking after patients who are chronically ill or diagnosing patients what's wrong with them. And that is the core of our business, how we can build on that business. And increasingly now, the labs are becoming much more connected directly to patients with the work that some of the example here that Fire are doing. And then that is becoming increasingly important to the future of healthcare, that the labs and shortening those clinical pathway life cycle times.
So again, not to oversimplify it, but effectively what you're doing is you're taking, I suppose, diagnostic information, analysis, processing it and maybe giving it back to the medical staff to make better management decisions with. Is that the space you're in?
Yeah, so for example, I mean, one of the visions we had as a business, we originally were an imaging company and we saw the opportunities for imaging. In cases with, you know, personal cases of relatives, I know that for breast cancer, that for somebody to get a biopsy, to be able to turn that around, that takes 72 hours in a lab before there's a chance that they'll get a report back to say
right,
whether this is a benign condition or a cancer. we have a vision, and we're now starting to deliver that vision where we can deliver that diagnosis in 7 seconds.
And, you know, the quality of that information and that time that you say when somebody gets a diagnosis such as cancer, and God knows I've been that foot soldier. The worst part, and my memory is this, is waiting to see what you have or how bad it is or otherwise. So that information that you can provide at such speed will be invaluable to the healthcare system, I think. Let's just talk generally about healthcare, and maybe how we'll start with you on this, Connor, in terms of technology and the whole thing about keeping people out of hospital, where you, like your own business, like the cost of medical care in hospitals, you know, the congestion, the overcrowding, the patient care. That vision of making it remote, of caring for people in their own homes, how close are we to that? Or are we getting any nearer to that being an everyday solution?
I'd say very much so. So just on the context, I think with aging demographics, we really have to change how healthcare is delivered. At the moment we've set up, it's an amazing system, but usually it's reactive to when you're already sick.
Yeah.
And I think it has to switch to being a bit more proactive, individualised, and getting better care in a lower cost setting, but really making sure that it's precise and empowering people. Bizarrely, COVID has actually helped on this transformation, realising that sometimes you actually need to provide more care. For example, in America, telemedicine really took off during COVID because of the challenges of the hospitals at that time. So our vision really is being precise, getting data to empower best of care, physician-led or directed, but really empowering the patient in the home to actually manage and optimise their care.
Yeah.
As we live longer with chronic disease, it's the only way I think healthcare can be delivered.
It's funny you say that, and I know a lot of the frustration within the healthcare sector, within the hospital system, is around bureaucracy, it's around, you know, layers of management. But something like COVID, we're all able to move very quickly and very nimbly in a cumbersome scenario. So I think you're right when you say that. Maybe back to Orla and Sharon, in terms of your own business and the impact of what's changing in terms of where your business will go around the use of drugs. How do you find even the particular drugs to say, well, we find this on, we think this would be good to be reapplied in this scenario? Tell us a little bit about that.
So in terms of our product identification and finding those ideas, Bobby, we work extremely close with groups like the Children's Oncology Group, the Leukemia Lymphoma Society, to really listen to the pain points. So how can we improve? How can we make it better? Because ultimately, ideas have to translate into products that will get to patients. We have to consider the pricing and reimbursement landscape that is ever-changing, the regulatory landscape that is ever-changing. So these are all extremely important considerations when we are thinking about the ideas and how we actually translate them into a product that creates impact for patients.
Okay, and Hugh, back to you. When you're working with the hospital labs and you talk about changing a delivery of a diagnosis from 72 hours to 7 seconds, what is it that you're actually doing that allows you to be able to do that?
Well, you know, a key part in that clinical pathway is the pathologist. And too often, you know, the pathologist doesn't get enough recognition for the fact that their role in that. Everybody talks about the lab as if the lab is some sort of, you know, automation thing. There's really the people behind that. And some of the best and brightest doctors are in the lab, the pathologists. We're working with them to turn around the process so they can understand the images. You know, a big part of this is in the imaging world. And in the past, too often the pathology systems were all about text, people describing words what they saw. We're putting the images in front. We're using AI to be able to show the image in a way that they can relate to, because you've got the pathologists now, there's a considerable cohort of pathologists being trained to look at certain slides in certain ways. We're showing that those slides can be generated in their way that they can see, and then make an early
diagnosis
that they can then circumvent a lot of that process through the lab. You still have got you can still send the sample through the lab and confirmatory do that, but in the meantime you can be much more confident about where you are and what you're doing with those images.
Where do you see medical science going, Hugh, in terms of as technology such as your own keeps developing? Like, do you envisage a day where, you know, you may not even ever have to go to hospital, that you could go into a room, be scanned, and that something would say, listen, you're either 100% clean bill of health or you have this, and this. Will we ever get to that place?
I don't think that's going to happen for a long time. I mean, the sort of DNA is part of the story. The hybridization, other factors that lead to the changes in DNA are still not fully understood. I do think that increasingly, the vision of FHIR talking about, you know, if you can empower patients who aren't well to look after their condition, that's going to be a big factor of healthcare going forward in the future. Because, you know, people empowered actually, you know, take control of it and manage it themselves a lot better, and they have far better outcomes. And the only intervention needs to be when somebody gets acutely ill, that then they would have that intervention that's required then. And a lot of conditions can be treated, and you're far more relaxed and happier at home to do these things if you can get home. And that technology now is very much available to allow people to manage their condition at home for those various conditions. You know, the warfarin management or blood coagulation issues, or, you know, the sort of heart failure issues. Those things are great to see that technology is coming through now to really empower patients to do a lot more from home.
Okay, well, that's been a really fascinating discussion around healthcare. I'd finally like to ask each one of you about the CEO retreat, what you've found, what you've liked, what you maybe have learnt. Let's start with you, Conor. You know, it's nice to come to somewhere like Cape Town and to be with like-minded people.
It's actually been an amazing experience, so I've really been delighted and honoured to be part of it. There's probably two aspects that really jumped out at me. Yesterday, it was a great day. We had some talks from two CEOs from major companies in South Africa. And one theme I really pulled away was just their commitment long term to really build on their vision and focus on what they're doing, the purpose, and they've built multi-billion dollar businesses. And the second aspect was very humbling. We went to a township and actually met a number of entrepreneurs. And I just realized how entrepreneurial these people are in the environment they're trying to build businesses.
Yeah.
And kind of made me reflect on what an amazing job Ireland has done over the last 40, 50 years to really encourage business and try to really find innovation to help people.
Yeah.
Like where we are in Ireland now, we're literally building on all the investments over 40 years. I think we're developing a unique sensor in FHIR One, and the team, I think, is better than probably anywhere else in the world.
Yeah, interesting. Ladies, what about yourselves and your own experience? Sharon, what about you?
Yes, yeah, it has far exceeded my expectations, Bobby. An absolutely phenomenal group of people. So humbled and grateful to be a part of it. I think the balance between getting to experience all that South Africa and Cape Town has to offer, coupled with the learnings and the opportunity to network with such like-minded, supportive, you know, really, really nice people. It's been absolutely amazing.
And you've got your wingman with you here, Orla, who keeps your wingwoman, sorry, my bad, keeps an eye on things. But now you're the accountant, so you're the person who should be keeping an eye on things. Orla, what about you?
For me, Bobby, it's just the diversity of the group, yet the perspectives they can bring, a simple conversation, you know, not the same industry, but a level of objectivity on your plan, your ambition for the company. It's not something you'll get, you know, if you're without a group as phenomenal as this.
And last word to you, Hugh. I've seen you up doing the workouts at the boot camp early in the morning, so you're embracing the whole experience, both the academic and the learning side, and indeed the physicality of it all. Has it been a good experience for you?
Yes, maybe the word retreat is maybe not the right word to describe what we've been on, but it's been really fascinating and wonderful. I mean, we have a real interest in Africa. You know, Africa is an area where there is a real shortage of pathologists, and that's going to be an increasing problem for healthcare in Africa. And starting to, and the word that keeps coming across in the conversations about what's going on in Africa is that it's complex.
Yeah.
You know, it's 57 countries and 2,500 languages, and just realizing that now, you know, we sort of have to, you know, it's good that we're armed with that knowledge now to know what we have to do to be able to help and support and see what we can do to work with that. But that's been, you know, a real learning curve, and it's really empowering to see and talk to other CEOs and at the same time see a real experience about what's going on in Africa, because Africa is going to be a major driver in the world economies in future decades.
Okay, well, I'd like to thank all my healthcare panel, Conor Hanley from Fire One, Hugh Cormican from Cerdan, and Sharon Cunningham and Orla Ryan from Shorla. Great to talk to you all, and I'm glad you're all enjoying the week. We'll see you back in Dublin.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.